Hey, good morning everyone, and welcome to another Saturday Coffee Tea with me. Today we're honored and privileged once again to have Robert Scott Bell, Robert Scott Bell Show, 5, 6, 7 days a week on AM radio, and I think simulcasting on YouTube. I'm not positive. We'll have to ask him when he gets here. Anyway, I thought I'd start the call before our guest arrived. And if I have to, I'll put myself on hold and go shake them up. But coaching day changes, okay? Coaching day changes. Now, I talked about it last weekend a little. I made a post and sent it out yesterday. I'll send it out tomorrow and Monday, and I'll talk about it again on prayer and fellowship tomorrow. The change was decided because many people, and there are many people, are new. And it was very disconcerting for some of them to go from Saturday afternoon until Tuesday without being able to have coaching time. So after a few requests, I said, no problem. And I changed the coaching days off. I will be working now Mondays and Wednesdays. And really, anybody who needs to talk to me can talk to me Saturday after the conference call and Sunday after the prayer meeting. But I am back now on Mondays and Wednesdays and will be taking Tuesdays and Thursdays off. Aha! The bell rang just in time. Good morning, Robert. How are you?
I'm here under protest because I show up and John Bergsteiner decides he's not going to do it. I don't know why. Why should I even bother?
Because, buddy, you're the bomb. Even if you don't know what that means because you're old, everybody I hang out with is about a third my age. And the bomb means you're the cool thing on the block.
So you're now cool. So by definition, I can be cool, then I'm in. Okay, I'm back. All right, thank you.
No, I'm not cool. You're cool.
All right. We'll see where this goes anyway. I don't know what's on tap for today, Mel. I'm just always here to help support if I can. But
okay, well, I was sure there were a few things that you wanted to talk about, okay? And let me just get this last person. 530, what is your first name? Just your first name.
Tara.
Oh, good. Glad you're here. Very, very good. All right, so I'm going to mute you back up because I've got everybody muted. We have some people here, now believe it or not, they are leading a caravan of cars in a prayer day. And they're only going to stay on this call till they get a chance to talk to you. So I promised them I was going to let them go first. And they have a question that's been asked before. But I told you, you're the bomb, you're the man, you're the answer. So when it comes to how can I eradicate mold toxicity in my lungs, I don't know, but I know that you do. So let me introduce you to Dodie and Kip, Robert Scott Bell. Good morning, boys and girls. Stop laughing, Kip. All right, well, they've got themselves muted, and he's driving, so they better pass the phone off or switch drivers. All right, maybe I unmuted the wrong people. It's possible. No, that was the right people. Robert, they had approached me yesterday about this question during coaching, and I said that you were the expert. And that we had discussed this before, but that you would be glad to respond to this question. Now, the tape is running.
Okay.
So
we're actually recording now, yes?
Yeah, we've been recording since before you got here.
Okay. Well, we look to remediate mold, obviously, by getting out of the areas where the mold continues to proliferate. So that's one. But even remediation of mold external to the body gives you some clues as to things that can be done inside the body. One of the most amazing substances that has an anti-mold activity is delimonene from the orange peel, from citrus peel. And we've been using a cleaning agent called Organic Orange TKO for years for that purpose. It's a pure, and it's OMRI certified, which means it's certified even for organic agriculture, so you can use it safely. The only apparently species don't like orange oils of any kind are the cats, so be careful around cats. Otherwise, no problem. But the other thing in terms of where it manifests most viciously in the body, it's typically in the lungs. And airborne, the spores and things like that. So for many years, we've been discussing with great success the implementation of bioactive silver hydrosol in a nebulizer, putting a 5 ml dose, a teaspoon in a nebulizer on its own, breathing it in, doing a lung, you know, session. And a teaspoon can last anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes, depending on the nebulizer you use. And you can repeat that throughout the day as needed in first phases when it's most acute, and then remediate over time. Now, there's one addition that I didn't have access to before that I wanted, but we didn't have it, and we do now, or we're about to as of next week, I believe. And that is, besides silver's antifungal and anti-mold type properties, along with the limonene, copper has even higher order capacity to neutralize higher fungal species, parasites, and mold. So the copper hydrosol, which Mel will be able to send out like a blast to everybody when it's ready, you'll be able to get, and you'll put that also in a nebulizer into the lungs and remediate the mold issue even faster than we've been able to do it before. So that's the exciting evolution next step that we didn't have when I've answered this question prior to today.
Okay, well, that's got to be great news for our friend from New England. What do you got to say for yourself, Donald?
That sounds great. Thank you very much for being here, Mr. Bell. Fantastic.
You got it. Happy to be here, except I'm still mad that John Bergsteiner bowed out and made some kind of excuse.
No. Listen, you know me. I wouldn't let John bow out until I made him make this deal. So the deal, he's got to listen to your call. And he's got to add his 2 cents to your thoughts. And he agreed. And I said, well, I guess it's better to make the deal than to be in the Chateau Bow Wow from your wife.
That's good. All right. So, John, if he's listening now or later,
next Saturday to follow up.
So I say, thanks for not showing up, buddy.
Well,
He knows I love him. I'm just giving him grief because he's not here.
No. It's all good. It really is all good. Let's see if Kip and Doty are now, they're in the car. I'm not kidding you, bro, Robert. They are leading a caravan of cars of Christians in some kind of tour of the country on Saturday, and they make prayer stops. Okay, so that's not them. I don't have them unmuted. Wait a minute. That might be them, but it's a little confusing for me. Hold on 1 second. I got to make sure that I don't have 2 people from the same. Aha! Oh, boy. You must forgive me.
Forgive me, Mel.
And Kip.
Got to wake up pretty early in the morning to get Mel. We got him. We got him that time.
All right. No. If you get me early in the morning, you get a better Mel.
Hey, all right. And Mel, we caught all of that. I tried to write it down as we were cruising through the mountains of Colorado, but I'll have maybe listen to the recording afterward. But thank you so much. Because we've got a nebulizer and we got our house tested. We found some mold in our house. So we're going to be on it.
Okay. Excellent.
They already have a company that they chose, and you know what a pain I am. So I told them, give me the full name of that company.
Give me the name.
And they're approved. They said, what are you, Angie's List? All right, well, that was really key, and I'm sure Donald loved the new information, because he's always looking for some better ways. And Kip and Doty, again, thank you for the beautiful post about coaching. I really appreciate those feelings and those thoughts.
You're very welcome, Mel, and and we mean it all of it. So yeah, I hope everyone gets a chance to get a hold of you and get some coaching. It's very important. So, all right, you guys have a blessed rest of your day.
All right, you too, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. So, Robert, now I've got plenty of hot topics for you. You know about the new virus?
The new virus? Are you talking the old virus, the Marburg, or what are you talking about? Another variant? What's the story?
Moro.
Did you say Moro?
Yeah, M-O-R-O.
Oh, all right. I haven't seen that one yet, so you're up on me.
I'm not up on you. Somebody I know was diagnosed with it, so I spoke to John B. And
are you talking Moro or Noro, M or N?
Either one will work.
No, it won't. One or the other. Which is it, a norovirus or a morovirus? Because I know norovirus. I've never heard of morovirus.
All right, well, then it must be Noro. Listen, I told you, you got to get me 4 or 5 in the morning or I'm useless.
All right, man. Well, we'll try and carry you along. We call you hop-along because you're GIMP, right? But you're healing. That's the good news.
No, I'm not GIMPing at all, buddy. I got my knee brace on. I got my knee pads on. I got my weightlifting belt because I carried a Norfolk Island pine into the tub so it could have its annual, every 6 months I shower the thing. But it's my Christmas tree now, and I was able to actually grow it indoors, which is pretty cool.
All right. Well, I'm planning to come see you soon, so we'll know for sure. I'll validate it or I'll invalidate what you're telling me, but I think you're right.
No. Hey, yeah, validation is tremendous. You kidding? Listen, I can't wait to go to that restaurant you found for us.
I know. You said you have been there since I was there, right? I told you about it. You love it, right?
Yeah, I went and I told you I had the waffle.
That's right. Oh, man. I want to go back there again. That was so amazing.
And then
I wanted to go
to a place called Zozo's. Italian restaurant, but they have wonderful fish dishes. And if we get the right waiter, he sings the menu.
Oh, good Lord. All right.
No, you don't have to get dressed up or anything.
Oh, thank you. All right. So your friend has been diagnosed with the norovirus. Is that correct? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
So this is not new. This is old. And my stance on these things is always that the virus is a cover story for something else, including the norovirus. You know, this is one that they say causes vomiting, diarrhea. It's more of an acute manifestation rather than the viruses that don't seem to do anything in most everybody that encounters them. But if you have food poisoning and you're vomiting and diarrhea, they can go, oh, well, that wasn't food poisoning. That was a virus. And it's just absurd. But again, the virus hunters and those in the media, they dominate with this thing called a virus because we're all afraid of viruses. And I'm encouraging people to get beyond their fear because that fear leads to this level of control that it's suffocating the people, especially young people that are growing up with this fear and mask wearing, et cetera. Basic, you know, sanitation, hygiene. And remember, selenium is key. If you're concerned about viruses, selenium is key because selenium is like birth control for viruses. But the ability of silver to interact with viral proteins is legendary at this point. The ions of silver can interact with viral protein coats. They can bind and denature them. They can penetrate them and bind to the RNA or DNA, depending. I think the norovirus may be an RNA virus, but it doesn't matter for silver. So we can stop it from happening. And homeopathically, you know, addressing the symptoms, there are many, many options there in terms of vomiting. You have the classic Ipecac, which is, of course, causing vomiting in its regular state. But in homeopathic form, it can help reduce the intensity and severity of it. There's also Nux Vomica, which is a very powerful stomach and liver remedy. And Arsenicum Album, arsenic in homeopathic form, also indicated in these manifestations. And, of course, if there's a lot of vomiting and diarrhea, you'll have to replenish, you know, make sure you have good fermented foods or some sources for good probiotics to replenish the gut that has been cleansed due to the rapid excretion purge that has happened, and they always blame the norovirus. So you can tell I'm not a guy that believes that viruses are the real issue. If they are anything, they're incidental, and they're found because the body is detoxifying and or signaling, you know, using it as a messaging system. But that goes into the work of Andrew Kaufman and Tom Cowan, and they're pretty profound as physicians to understand the law of the terrain versus the germ theory. So I'll pause there if there are any questions on that.
Well, I want to ask you this. We got everybody here taking silver. Now, if someone was told they had that virus, how many could they take a day? We have them going two times a day. What would you recommend?
Yeah, so in those cases, you've got an acute manifestation of something, not a chronic one. And in those cases, you would increase dosage to 7 a day, even hourly, you know, waking hour. You can go more than that to get out of crisis. If you believe it's more of a food poisoning issue, which many times the norovirus is misdiagnosed, it's not norovirus, it's food poisoning, you can bolus dose, B-O-L-U-S, bolus dose, which means taking a larger quantity one time, maybe two times, to put out a microbial fire, right? In a food poisoning situation, you've got this violent overgrowth, very rapid overgrowth. Now, the reason for frequent dosing of the silver, for instance, is to outpace the replication curve of a virus, if you believe the virus is the cause, but also outpace the reproductive cycles of a bacterial colony. And that's why it can be frequent in an acute situation. And as you see evidence of getting better, the symptoms are reduced, and you can start spacing out the doses from every hour to every hour and a half or every couple of hours and then taper down over time. But in the case of a real food poisoning explosion where diarrhea and vomiting is happening, I've often taken 2-ounce shots of the silver, just straight up, and just guzzle it down. Usually you take one dose, maybe you'll need a second dose in 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40, or an hour. But oftentimes that one dose can knock it out fast. But it's a large dose because we're driving it with purpose down to the stomach and even to some degree past the stomach. But a lot of the times when vomiting is at play, it's really a stomach and up issue. Once it gets passed into the small intestine, it's moving on down the other way and resulting in diarrhea. So I'm sorry to be graphic about these things, but hopefully this is helpful.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't know all of this stuff when I almost killed myself trying to make homemade Chinese food.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, no, remind me, when I'm coming to visit, we're not doing that.
No. I'll never do that again, boy. I've never had food poisoning before. I did it to myself.
Oh, brutal.
We do have a question and a hand up for a while. So let's get over to Carrie Ann and Joe. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Robert. So happy to have you on. I think since the last time you were on here, Carrie and I, we've been pretty much binging on your show the last few weeks, probably a good months, and just love the information you bring to the table, and super down.
Thank you for that, but make sure you don't tell Mel all the things I say about him when I'm on the air on my show, because I don't want him to know.
Well, that's why I cut out after, you know, the first hour of the 2 hours, you know. you know, I did have a question, of course, regarding our own health and clearing out toxicity levels lately. And it's probably longer than lately, just from what I've been, but lately on your show, you've been talking a lot about the hemp oil the CBD that you use. I can't remember who produces it, but you've been talking a lot about it. And I thought it's the hemp that you get in different flavors. Can you talk about how you use it and how that can benefit us?
Yeah, I talked to Mel a little bit about this because we were, you know, trying to find sources that I can rely upon. I had to transition, but we now have a United States grown, Colorado grown, certified organic hemp. I mean, this is amazing because the farmer is so hardcore on cleanliness. He won't even drive diesel trucks and tractors in his crop to harvest. It's all hand harvested and critically extracted. So that's from Nutritional Frontiers. And it is as the liquid, if you will, extract. It's critically extracted by CO2, so no hexane, no synthetics, toxics, or anything like that. And I utilize it primarily because if I'm in an intense, let's say, pace, which has been that way lately, especially with some of my travel trips, I can get stressed, and I can feel it in my body, you know, in the muscles, my neck, my trapezius muscles, particularly, they get tight, and so I've been utilizing it to help take the edge off of the intensity, kind of chill out my stress level. Although there's so many benefits related to brain and nervous system because of gut-brain connection, the CBD primarily in this case, and I know Mel has talked extensively about using the whole plant, including the THC, which can be a benefit as well. But in the case of this particular product, it is a low, almost no THC, and it's primarily focused on CBD and others because it's a whole plant complex too. So there's a transdermal form, which is fantastic too, because many times you can put it on topically and you can get some level of superficial relief, but they have developed a transdermal delivery system, which is amazing. When I was putting it on directly onto the areas of stress, it was like deep in me within, 15 minutes, I felt like I was getting a warm hug from this stuff. So for me, that's just how I used it. Of course, there are so many uses because the endocannabinoid system tends to have interactivity and control of so many other systems, and yet we're still learning about them. And again, Mel, you know a lot about this because you've experienced it yourself.
Well, the endocannabinoid system is the largest system internally in the human body, and it has receptors. And the oil extracted from both marijuana and hemp will fill those receptors. So I've been utilizing it, the oil that is, since 2010. I've seen it cure so many cancer patients, it's been incredible. I know that it doesn't cure toxic disease, unfortunately, because those are made by man. They're biological weapons. They made sure that the oil wasn't going to fix it. But it can restore almost everything else inside the human body, all your organs. It can make them better, stronger, healthier again, those oils. So to utilize them even for that purpose, I feel that part of the reason that I'm staying young, and I promise you, no matter, I'm not bragging, I did a Humana virtual call with a doctor yesterday morning at 8 a.m., and the guy didn't want to let me off the phone. He said, I am the healthiest 76-year-old man he has spoken to this year. And you're going to lower my insurance rates? And he laughed. But I mean, you know, I think that, you know, it's for who I work, the Lord, and it's because I understand the endocannabinoid system and how significant it is in the human body. Yep. And I utilize it. I mean, I do the oil almost once a year for 64 days between Thanksgiving and New Year's.
Coming up, then. Coming up.
Yeah, it is coming up, and I'm getting ready to make it.
Yeah, excellent. Well, and you know, look, I wish we could all grow it everywhere, and not everywhere are we capable of doing it because of the legalities. But just short of that, finding clean sources, reliable sources, it's been always, you know, my agenda, you know, is to find the best get available, and we have that now. That's, again, from Nutritional Frontiers, CBDNF.com.
All right. Well, let's see. Now, do we have any specific questions? All right, let me give you another one. Your latest thoughts. We better not put this on tape. I was going to say your latest thoughts on Fauci, but I don't want to get us in trouble. All right. Okay. Your latest thoughts about the pandemic?
Well, it's seemingly running a little bit out of steam, yet the pandemic promoters are not giving up. I mean, they're obviously, in my mind, they're very desperate now. To ratchet up and find ways to scare people, because there's just a fatigue factor associated with an ongoing story like this. And what we have seen, of course, since the advent and introduction of the so-called vaccines, the experimental DNA altering jabs, is a massive increase in illness and death, primarily among those who have gotten the experimental shots. So that is getting out. People are seeing it more by the day. We've seen some of the most wicked things happening in Australia overtly attacks on the people who simply want to or yearn to breathe freely, much less travel from their homes without permission, and overt statements from government, including our own president, if you believe he is that, about a new world order that has been discussed for decades and has been derided by mainstream sources as conspiracy theory and all of that. But we're seeing reality of the Great Reset really relying upon our fear of germs, and in this case, viruses. So they're going to keep coming up with what they call variants, even though they have no validated tests for the variants. The Delta variant has no validated test. They're only self-validating each independent lab. They haven't even gone up to the federal government to ask for emergency use authorization. So it doesn't even reach the level of semi-science that is an EUA. And so they'll keep coming up with variants if that works to scare people. But now they're also predicting paralytic type manifestations in children coming in the spring. And I think how would they know that that's happening or coming other than the fact that they know that they're expanding downward in age the mandates to these experimental shots, and they know that young people may be impacted more significantly in terms of brain and neurological function. So we could see acute flaccid myelitis, which is just another way to call it polio, which polio was always neurotoxins. There wasn't one virus that is a polio virus. That's another lie, another story that can't be substantiated. And if I haven't mentioned it in a while, I'll remind you that the book by my dearly departed friend Liam Sheff called Official Stories is something that gives a very good historical perspective and medical and scientific perspective on a lot of these vaccines, including the story of polio, where they always come back and they say, oh, you don't like vaccines, what about polio? You're like, well, polio was primarily DDT, a brutal neurotoxin. And now in terms of paralytic issues in children or otherwise, it's, again, toxicological burdens and poisons accelerated through injection. You know, my daughter goes to school, she's an 11th grader, and she told me that two of her friends got the jab, they're teenagers like her. She hasn't, of course, we don't do that, but they never had seizures, and now suddenly they're having seizures, her two friends, after getting the jab. You know, those are considered neurological manifestations, although there could be damage to the gut too. So this issue of the pandemic, I would say it's waning only because people are just getting tired of it. But the reality is their ability to frighten us with something new, whether they call it the Marburg or whether they say norovirus now or a Delta, Gamma, whatever variant they come up with, there's a fatigue factor because people aren't buying it as much as before, but they're not giving up on it. So they may come up with worse things. We've heard predictions of the dark winter we're about to enter, supply chain disruptions, thousands of perhaps boats just sitting off the coast around the United States not being allowed to come into the ports. So if there are shortages of fuel, oil, heating oil, that kind of thing, we could see, again, an authoritarian attempt to lock down the people in a different way, because this has always been the goal: reduce population, lock them down, make them enslaved to fear, basically. And our fear of germs has made us very vulnerable. And I pray that we can overcome it faster than they can implement their agenda totally, because a lot of people may lose their lives over these jabs, which we know, and what I'm lecturing on regarding silver, copper, nitric oxide, and hydrogen is very critical to help those people when they wake up, if they wake up in time. So that's where I'll pause now, and you can comment or question from there.
Well, no, I mean, you know, again, when I put you on the bomb coming down on Russia, I knew what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So my next thought would be, people keep asking me about 5G and their health.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, I know somebody who knows and has lots of thoughts on that. Do you mind sharing your thoughts on that subject?
Well, that's the invisible stressor. You know, we can easily pinpoint, or much more easily pinpoint, the biological toxins, environmental toxins, things that stress us, threaten us, and that are explicable easily because we can say they are molecular, we can measure them, even though there are arguments in terms of quantity. But when we get into the fifth generation wireless technology or any previous generation of wireless technology, I will once again bring up the book by Arthur Furstenberg called The Invisible Rainbow. If anybody hasn't read that yet and you want to know the whole history of the changes on this planet since the electrification of the planet artificially by man, with each advancement, there's been a devastating corresponding kind of outbreak or pandemic of some kind. And this also gets to having us perceive our health differently than being victims of viruses or even fungus or bacteria, that we are electrical beings, and when our electrical systems are altered, we can adapt to survive it, or we can perish, or we can be greatly challenged in our health system. And then it will manifest as, oh, it's a virus, oh, it's a bacteria, oh, it's something else. And so when we see, particularly with the increasing levels of heavy metals in people, and you know that impacts a lot of what goes on in Morgellons, the vulnerability or susceptibility to what's known as fifth generation or beyond wireless technologies is such that it impacts those people even more because they have an ability to interface with these metals. Now, one of the most current controversies that I'm trying to get a handle on, a grip on, is graphene oxide discussion. Because there are many that are arguing that graphene oxide is being utilized in these experimental jabs. It's not just about the spike proteins. And that this graphene oxide, as also partly a metal, can become a receiver, if you will, an antenna, that in the presence of 5G or other signals, it begins to organize and do some devastating things within the body. So once again, we have to do everything to get our minerals back up, like selenium and others, to help remove the things that make us more vulnerable to these technologies, these wireless technologies. Now, I've also talked, and I think we've let folks know about occasionally, I do these online webinars about this topic outside of the show to provide a valid solution, something that has been double-blind, placebo-controlled tested, and that is the key technology or the WaveGuard that comes out of Germany that my friends at Synergy Science have, that I have, you know, the key shield, which is a cylinder that I can travel with, and I have the key home cell, which is an entire home protection system that produces a stable torus field of electrons that continue to recirculate for years. It doesn't require electrical input. And in that field, it depolarizes somewhat the five generation and even beyond exposure. But it also floods our system, every living system in that field, with these electrons all the way down to the mitochondrial level so that we are better able to withstand that which may still be present and we can't totally turn off unless you talk about the bomb, these 5G towers come down, which is not likely, to my knowledge, unless there's sabotage and what they'll call terrorist activity. Arguably.
Yeah, that's true. If we start knocking them down, that's what they'll say. We're rebels, terrorists.
Yeah. It's happened in other countries. And, of course, that's the way they couch it. Yeah. So it's the invisible component, the detriment, the threat that we can't necessarily avoid unless we're very far out in the field. But as you know, the satellite technology, they're claiming to cover every inch of the Earth from the sky with fifth generation type wavelengths. So there is no escape. So the question is, can we utilize advances in technology to counteract and protect ourselves in the midst of that? And that's why, you know, I highly recommend and use and don't want to be without the QI key technology that I get from Synergy Science.
Okay, well, I think, you know, we need a link for people to go there directly. So you'll send me over a link. I think we had it once, but it's buried. I wouldn't even.
Okay.
So we'll get another link up. And, you know, a lot of you heard Joe from Carrie Ann and Joe say that they've been actively going to Robert's shows on a regular basis. And I'll tell you, you'll learn a lot of things there that you might not ever hear here. And they can all benefit you in some way. If you're going to incorporate anything, just let John and I know so we make sure that we're sure we're not interfering in any way with our protocol, but there are so many things that he covers that we're more focused on what we're doing here, and he's more focused on a much broader scale. I would say that's fair, wouldn't you, Robert?
Yeah, And I'm so pleased because you're right. The things that I cover, although I will make dalliances into the subject matters that you guys cover, it is not because I broadcast. The term broadcast means broad. You know, it means I have to cover a lot of topics because it's a broad audience with a lot of interest. And so we do drive. You know, we'll hit this topic, we'll move on to the next and keep people engaged and interested, always trying to teach and learn new things. And yet, I'm so pleased, like I said, the folks that are listening to my show still come back here. So, Mel, your fears about abandonment are unfounded. They're coming back to you no matter what.
All right, Robin, why don't we get this straight, okay? Fear and anxiety are not in my DNA, baby.
That's why I can teach you about it. That's why I can tease you. So,
all right, I got a question.
I just sent you the link, by the way.
I know, I saw it already.
Okay.
All right, come on in, Denise from New England. That's not Denise, that's the dog.
I think you unmuted me.
Oh, I unmuted you. All right, let me go. Oh, well, you want Valera, that's your dog. Go ahead, Valera.
Yes. I wanted to, first of all, I have a Key Home cell, and I have the Key Shield, and I think they're great. I take the Key Shield in my purse, so when I'm out of the house, I have some protection from 5G along with my son. And what I wanted to say is that they often will give a discount, like a 10% discount if a group is doing it. So if you do put an extension or a link for people to be able to get this to protect them from the 5G, then it'd be nice if you ask for a 10% discount because I think they'll give it to you.
Yeah, they will. I just sent the link to Mel, and you know, perhaps Mel can set up directly for the Morgellons group if you want. But right now, you're right. They're very innovative in terms of marketing, which they like to, you know, have people share what they're succeeding with and also benefit from that success. So it's something that as you share it, you should be benefited by that. So by all means, you know, check that out. Right now, again, I've sent the link that I have to Mel as well to post if you'd like.
Anyway, that's what I wanted to say, because I always got mine at a discount, and I tried to get the biggest discounts I could because it was expensive. It actually took me a long time to – I put it on a PayPal and paid off on it for several – I don't know, about a few years ago. So, yeah, it was – so anyway, I just thought and that's another thing to tell people. Once they see the price, they're going to go, ah, I can't do it. And but PayPal will let you pay zero interest if it's over $99 and for a year, and you pay it off within a year, no interest.
That's great.
Yeah.
Or it might that's
be. I forgot the amount, but anyway, depending on the amount, is how long you have to pay it.
Right, and you know, when we get into issues of value, things do cost stuff on this planet, and unfortunately, with the Federal Reserve note tanking because they're building, you know, in trillions of new Federal Reserve notes, we have to also prepare for that and find other ways to interact and exchange. And, you know, whether you go back into gold and silver or cryptocurrency or gold backs, that's just another aspect of preparation or preparedness. You know, this past summer, you know, we worked and modified our own gardens. My wife and I, mostly my wife with some help, built two greenhouses so that we can grow things through the winter, and trying to be examples for self-sustaining, you know, because if we want to help anybody, we've got to be able to first help ourselves. And in terms of the threat, the invisible threat that is 5G, when you realize how significant it is and you realize the value in these things, yes, that do cost money. I wish everything was a lot less, but the way things are going now with inflation of the Federal Reserve notes and the deflation of the, let's say, the value of each note means you can buy less. Get things while you can. If you have cash, use it to get things that will protect you moving forward, or convert it into things that will maintain value while the Federal Reserve note drops and drops and drops.
All right. Well, that's a bleak picture, but it's probably the reality that we all have to deal with at some point in time. So let me, let's see here. Okay. We have any questions? Now, I think I hit all the hot topics. Is there anything you'd like to add to the topics that I brought forth today again?
Well, for me, I'm just here to serve if there's things that you guys want. I've been on such a pace, Mel. I was complaining on the air yesterday. I was like, dang, damn it, that Mel, he asked me to do this thing again. I can't believe it. And then John's not showing. So I was griping big time yesterday. But I'm here because you guys are here. And as I know, Mel, that's why you do this. So I just want to answer things that are really on your mind that are critical to help. And after
all right,
that, I'll take.
Let's go through the group. Come on in, Vanessa.
Hey, hi, Robert. I do have a question. I was wondering, in your opinion, what do you think is the difference between the mRNA vaccines and the Johnson & Johnson?
Well, it's a delivery system. The same outcome or similar outcome is manifesting. The J&J is, they say it's not mRNA, but it's kind of delivering it surreptitiously or very sneakily through a different viral protein in this case. And I think it's adenovirus, if I'm not mistaken. So it eventually unfolds that what's in that is delivered differently so that then alteration of DNA protein synthesis occurs. People are trying to say, well, that's safer because, well, I don't know. How do you define safe, you know, with two really horrendous, dangerous injections or systems of injections? But the difference is just, you know, one is very overtly programming directly with this mRNA injection. The other is delivering in a different package, the adenovirus package, to unfold when it reaches, you know, that certain area. And then that same scenario occurs, and then the body is suddenly altering DNA protein synthesis to produce these spike proteins, which arguably at this point are the primary, not sole, but primary route of damage, destruction, inflammation, and perhaps even death that's happening for those that have gotten the jab or those mm-hmm. who are exposed to the jab in terms of, let's say, transference or what do they call that?
Shedding.
Shedding, thank you. I mean, we used to think of shedding in terms of viral. Now we're talking shedding of actual spike proteins.
Okay. So this talk about the Novavax vaccine, do you think it'll ever come here? And what are your thoughts on that?
The Novavax? I've talked about it briefly, but my mind is not going into the specific technology that they're claiming about the Novavax. Do you recall?
I haven't read a whole lot about it, but apparently it is a vaccine. It's not an injection, is what I've heard. But they're not getting it here. I think it's approved in India and maybe a few other countries, but looks like they're refusing to get it here. Maybe it's a safer one.
Okay, so it says, let's see, it's a subunit protein vaccine. It's still... The whole basis for this is just absolute nonsense, dangerous nonsense, because, you know, the reality is if you have adequate selenium in your system, your vulnerability is greatly reduced. As I talk about the different things that address the so-called cause of what they call COVID in reality, you know, the silver, the copper, the nitric oxide, and the hydrogen, again, along with minerals like selenium. We shouldn't even be talking about these vaccines other than to abolish them because they're abominable. They're ushering in the disease that they claim to prevent. So the vaccine is the vector. The vaccine is the variant. All of this is happening because of this. So if they're going back to, addressing the coronavirus issue by a more traditional vaccine, that's where we had even more devastation in terms of pathogenic priming or antibody-dependent enhancement that results in, you know, massive hyper response or overreaction by our own immune system to the point where the people that have those category 6 cytokine storms end up dying because every ounce of energy that they have in reserves are just robbed immediately. Vital force is lost because their immune system goes into hyperdrive, and then they die not from the exposure but from the body's reaction to normally occurring things in cold and flu season. And so I think that would precipitate that no matter what.
Oh.
Well, that was a good question, huh, Robert?
Yeah, yeah. And I think we were talking derivation of the Novavax from moths and tree bark. I mean, it's very different, but at the same time, it's very troubling because in this case, they use the protein from moth cells. Now I'm remembering now as I covered this a few weeks back. and then an adjuvant made from tree bark. You know, the adjuvants, of course, are aggravators of the immune system. So they irritate purposefully the immune system. And what does that precipitate? Often autoimmune conditions. So anybody that's vulnerable to autoimmune or has autoimmunity, they're going to trigger those people into devastating responses and reactions. And they'll say, well, it's not an mRNA, so it's not the same, so you can't say no to it. And, of course, just this last week, we learned that Pfizer was hiding the fetal cell line experimentation on their jab, which is used widely in Israel and in America, et cetera. And they wanted to hide it because they want to make it as difficult as possible for people of faith to claim a religious exemption or objection to the shot. And now it's just like right out there in the open, thanks to Project Veritas. And we played some of the videos that they had, the undercover interview videos, as well as the whistleblower interviews on it. And we promptly got banned by Facebook for a few days. So we'll see if we get back on Facebook or not. But there's such an evil intent at the highest levels. And then a bunch of useful idiots are allowing this to continue. It could end tomorrow when we wake up and see the reality that you all see here.
It's amazing. That's all I got to say. And it's just so sad because when I was – I just remember being young, Robert, you know, like before I was a teenager and playing in the sand and in fields, and we would look for new refrigerator boxes that were empty because we could use them as tanks. And it was a lot more fun back then. All right, we got plenty of more questions. Nancy, you want to say anything real quick?
No, I'm just learning.
All right. Welcome, Nancy. I'm glad you're here. Good morning, Tara Tora. How are you?
I'm good, Mel. Thank you.
You have a question for Robert?
I do. And Robert, this, by the way, thank you for being here. And this goes back a couple of when you were last on the show. Or with us, and it has to do with selenium. We were wondering about a resource that you were looking for selenium that was more of a food grade variety. Have you been able to access one?
Yes. In fact, you know, what I thought we were going to lose, we have maintained. We still have access to it. Now, just as a let's say, a refresher for everybody on the issue of selenium and every mineral out there, the soils have been depleted over a century now, at least. And so we can see significant drops in the presence of selenium and one of the highest content foods of selenium on the planet, Brazil nuts. And people are still assuming that the test that they did 70 years ago on selenium content in Brazil nuts is the same today. It's not. It's a fraction of what it once was. But it is an ideal form because the body knows what to do when it comes through food, like Brazil nuts. So we have found advances in dietary supplement manufacturing technologies that grow these minerals into a food matrix, right, through yeast or other things. And it's not like candida yeast, so it's not a problem for most people. And this allows for us to get the benefit of selenium in perhaps smaller quantities, but 100% of the benefit versus, things like forms that exist in nature, like sodium selenite, which is more close to akin to a rock than it would be to something you would get through food. So you may get some benefit out of it. Now, another form often is selenomethionine, and that can be found to some degree in nature, but it's a very complex number of ways that selenium appears in a food matrix. So to rely only on that form is also not as efficient as a whole food form. So for years, we've been utilizing the innate response formulas selenium, and I thought they were going to discontinue it, but fortunately it's still available. We can still access it, and you know, I will often go upwards of 1,000 to 1,200 micrograms for severely ill patients, those with cancer, severe issues. In terms of acute response, even with viral issues, if you believe in that, you can go up, you know, dramatically, you know, 600, 800 or more micrograms for a couple of days to a couple of weeks, and with the right form, you won't end up in a state of what we call selenotoxicity, which can often happen with the wrong form. And then you can see hair falling out, the nails become brittle, things like that. Fortunately, when you stop the intake within a couple of days to a week or so, you're completely fine. You know, it didn't kill you in that regard. But again, that's why I say the form does matter. You know, at lower quantities, maybe it matters a little less, but if you want to get the best out of, the most out of everything that you do, I look for the way the body utilizes it. Now, the one thing that was discontinued ultimately that I was afraid of was the chromium, the GTF chromium. And that's so critical for all metabolic processes, liver function as well, like selenium, but primarily as well the transport of sugars, you know, and I'm not talking that you're eating refined sugars because, you know, if you eat any carbohydrates, they'll break down into simple sugars and the body knows what to do with it. But in the absence of chromium, it becomes problematic. Even if you have insulin that can carry the sugar between the cells or from digestion into storage forms, when that insulin gets where it's carrying the sugar, it gets where it's supposed to go, it's like there's no dock workers there to offload the truck. Insulin's like the truck. So that's the chromium molecule. And without that, you have what doctors wrongly diagnose as insulin resistance, which I don't believe you're resistant to insulin. It's just that you have no dock workers. They're on strike. They don't exist anymore. So who can offload it? And unfortunately, the docs in their wisdom, they say, well, that you're just resistant to insulin. No, you don't have chromium. So we've just located a source of 100% whole food GTF chromium now at the right level, 100 micrograms with a little bit of vanadium and other whole food botanicals that we are now integrating into the protocols. And in fact, yesterday's show when I had my good friend Jonathan from choosetobehealthy.com, we were discussing that, and there was a very special deal that they offered and everything. So just to clarify, the selenium I thought was going to be discontinued is still available. And the chromium, that was discontinued. We finally found a suitable alternative that is as good or better.
All right. Well, is that all in yesterday's show?
Primarily the chromium discussion, as far as the alternative to what we had been using for many years, is in yesterday's show. Didn't focus on the selenium, except to acknowledge that the one we have been using is still available.
Well, let's do the link for selenium real slow for them.
Okay.
Yeah, please. Please.
Yeah, we're going to. Yeah. Don't worry.
You want me to send it to you? If you go to choosetobehealthy.com, choosetobehealthy.com, you will be at the website that has the 100% whole food form that I utilize. If you enter the code RSB5, my initials, RSB5, that gets you a little bit of a discount. And just yesterday, Jonathan surprised me because he said, for those that have been out of chromium for a while, if you bought four, you could get the fifth one for free. And it's not an unreasonable price product. It's like, what, $26, $27. But chromium is something that I recommend three times a day. For those that are diabetic or severely hypoglycemic, they could do a fourth dose a day. But it's one basically capsule. Three times a day is your pretty much maintenance until you can build up your stores, then you can get by with less. But it's quite amazing in terms of energy utilization as well when you have the right form of chromium in your system.
Great.
Bring a bottle along when you come to visit.
Yeah. I'm going to be ordering some. So I'm going to, here, you know what? I'm just going to copy this for you and send it to you, Mel, so you have it and send out, make it easy for everybody.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Yeah, I'm trying to ask here and I'm trying not to be stressed out about it. I'm pretty chill. I'm pretty chill today. I'm doing okay. So
good.
Let's see here.
Bye. We're really glad that you joined us, okay? I mean, this is why these calls are good, hon. Great.
Yeah.
I'm really glad
you.
All right, let's see what we can get on the other side of the ocean. Is that you, Freddie?
Good morning. No, I'm enjoying the show. I don't have any questions at the moment. Thank you.
All right. Glad you're here, Freddie. Glad you're here. All right. Our buddy from New England, you know, this guy Donald, he always has good questions, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, guys. My question is, when nebulizing with hydrogen peroxide, 12%, do you find that to be useful to kill mold in the lungs or the sinus areas? And what would be the dose with 12% food grade?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you're dealing with high-level oxidative therapy in this case. And I caution people because there are people that are sensitive. Their tissues are very sensitive to oxidative therapies, and it can be harmful, not devastating or deadly, but if you have irritation to tissue or something like that, that 12% level can be too much. It may not be. It might be fine for you, Donald, but I just have to be say I defer mostly to antioxidative therapies. And, of course, the silver, it does have an electrical charge, but it's harmless to your healthy cells, and it's regenerative, where oxygen, which is life-sustaining, we know, can also be very damaging because it creates rust. It creates inflammation. So when you're dealing with, let's say, a pathogen of some kind, or you know whether it be considered to be a mold or some other species, yes, those things are very vulnerable to oxidative stress. This is why the hyperoxygenation through ozone or hydrogen peroxide can be helpful. But again, the sensitivity of tissue that surrounds it is vulnerable. So if you are to use an oxidation therapy, follow up with something that is very regenerative and protective. Again, increase selenium levels, for instance, or do the silver in between. You know, do your nebulizing of the hydrogen peroxide, wait a while, then do the silver or vice versa. So you can get some regeneration occurring. Or now that we'll have access to the copper, even more rapid regeneration of tissue that may be injured, inflamed, or damaged because of the excess oxidation. I don't know if that's helpful to you, but I can't give you a definitive answer on how you should dose on this because it's not something I really promote heavily unless there's an extreme extenuating circumstance where it can be a difference between life and death, very rapid kill, if you will, of the bad.
Well, Donald continuously searches for answers, but my generous thought is based on do no harm, I would never recommend it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Let's continue up the ladder here. Karen the librarian. We might get a good question here.
My brain's not been working real hard. But Robert, thank you again for being here. A quick question. Would you recommend chromium on a very low dose for just about anybody? Is it
yeah.
And the same for selenium?
Yeah, chromium, it's really one of the unsung heroes in the mineral world, and it's often overlooked because they just haven't seen clinically the greatest results with it because most of it has been manufactured and sold as a synthetic form like chromium picolinate, chromium polynicotinate, or chromium chloride. These are very minimally beneficial, and in the case of chromium picolinate, it's binding chromium to picolinic acid, which if you understand cellular metabolism, that's waste. It's a toxic waste product of cellular metabolism, picolinic acid. So it's basically cellular poop, and they bind it to cellular poop, and then they have you taking it. It's just like it makes no sense. But since they got it patented, then it becomes something of a marketable product, but minimal benefits.
Money.
Yeah. If you take the 100% whole food chromium. Oh, by the way, Mel, I'm just sending you a follow-up because on this special where it was the buy four, get one free, Jonathan is also throwing in the book on chromium, which is a $10 value for free, so that people will learn the things that I learned that very few people know, even in the medical and nutritional realm. And so he's throwing that in. I don't know how long the special will last, but he'll probably extend it because he's a nice guy hearing from you guys. Book on chromium, $10, I'm just writing this in, value for free as well. So to learn about the things we don't have time to go in depth on, it's a great opportunity.
Well, we used to think that selenium now was the most least understood mineral and important. Now it becomes chromium.
Correct, yes. And selenium is a close second, but...
No, I know it's a close second, buddy. I've known about selenium since 2008. So, I mean,
yeah.
You know, John educated me there real early.
Yeah, he knows. He does know that, yes.
Okay. All right, let's keep on keeping on. Thank you, Karen.
You're welcome.
Catherine of the Desert. No jokes today, Catherine. I will not make jokes about you. Come in, Catherine. All right, let's keep on keeping then. So let's see here. Boom, boom, boom. Diane and Paul. Good morning. You're unmuted, Diane and Paul. Unbelievable. All right. How about Brian? Come in, Brian. You know what? I don't think I can unmute him like that. I think we got it. So, well, somehow I've lost control of the board temporarily. Are you there, Robert?
I'm still here.
Okay. I don't know what happened, but... Okay, well, realistically, I don't see what the problem is. So let me try doing this. Ward, are you there? Okay. So when I tried to unmute the conference, it didn't work for some reason. So now we have all these people muted. I'm going to unmute everybody and see if that can do something for us. Strange, Robert. Sometimes get these technical difficulties here.
Well, I know. Yes.
Yeah, I got a monitoring board that says everybody speaker is talking. And it says the mute button is off, and that's not the case. And I'm not being able to unmute them. The only one who's not muted is Karen the librarian. Are you hearing us, Karen? Okay, well, she
might. Yep, I'm hearing you.
Okay, well, that's good. Then everyone is hearing us, even though we really can't hear them. Let's try this. If you have a question for Robert Scott Bell, then try hitting *5 now. That may help. You know, Robert, why don't I hang up and try calling back in? Because that won't disconnect the call as long as I have you and Karen, the librarian, unmuted.
All right. Well, you can do that quick.
No, I can. I'm going to try anyway.
All right. Was Karen unmuted, or is it just me?
Yes, I'm unmuted.
Okay, Karen. Well, you take over the call for Mel in the meantime.
Oh, yes. Well, I did have another question. I'm the one that was possibly, that the doctor's PA said that I likely had.
Go ahead, Karen.
That I likely had norovirus, but I did not have many of the, I did not have the extreme symptoms. I just had a fever for like 3 weeks and just gastrointestinal just discomfort, a lot of gurgling, but I didn't have the other.
Karen, viruses are supposed to be very rapid acting. The way they impact and cause problems or threat to your health is by massively replicating and overwhelming your system to the tune of millions and billions, right? And so they retooled the idea of a virus in the era of HIV and said, oh, no, viruses now are slow and they can be just chronically doing their thing, just eating at you over time, and it's mild. And so they changed their story constantly.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if you know you have intestinal symptoms, if you know you have...
Okay. Hold on. Everybody back, so everybody, please. We got Paul. Whoa. I will get to everyone one at a time. Karen, are you done?
No, Robert is giving me something, please.
All right, go ahead. I'm going to mute each person.
Okay. So, Karen, said in the slow-moving environment, they have the norovirus acute symptoms. You can be sure there are intestinal issues. I would look maybe through the Silver Aloe protocol for a week or two, maybe even a few days, that set you upright, replenish with the good bacteria, and you should be on your way again. Obviously, increase selenium. That's always the viral issue if they're arguing that it's a virus, and you should be able to recover quickly. But the silver, again, can neutralize all of that. Some doctors will do with these chronic, like EGFC bar, or even Lyme. Intravenous introduction, but that's
selenium and something with me.
All right, well, we have a new problem now. I can't mute anybody. This is quite incredible. It has something to do with conferencecalling.com. If you have a question for Robert, you have to hit *5 now. The only way I'm going to know what's going on.
And is there a way that people could mute themselves?
Well, everybody could mute themselves, maybe. I don't know. I can't mute everybody anymore. I can't.
Hello?
Individual.
Hello?
Yes, Ward, yes?
Yeah, I've got a question for Robert about the silver. As you know, I've been talking and I've got these bites, these parasites in my blood. If I took massive amounts of silver, could that kill them?
Yeah, to some degree, yes, but I think that the copper would be more efficient. That's coming out soon. Copper has much more direct anti-parasitic properties, so where silver leaves, copper takes over. So as soon as the sovereign copper is available, you'll want to start on.
Sovereign copper.
Do you have any other questions?
Yes.
Go ahead. Who is that? Hello?
Me? Valera?
Valera?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. Robert, I was wondering about what you thought about the highly purified C60 purple power, C60 carbon, or C60 purple, whatever it is.
Yeah. I know that the carbon 60 has been promoted heavily by some, including David Opp. It seems to have a lot in the body, but because I haven't clinically utilized it or used it on myself, I don't have a lot to say other than I acknowledge that people aren't claiming benefit from it. But I apologize, it's not an area that can give you definitive answer.
All right. Well, now I got them all muted. You there, Robert? You're not muted, Robert. You are muted. It's great.
I don't...
All right.
All right, Robert, I got to have you do an ending today, and we'll just have to do another call soon again, because I can't control the board at all.
All right. Well, if a message today would be one of recognizing your power, which comes from God, not government, not authoritarian, and that your obligation and right to defend your life, your liberty, property is not negotiable. And for those of you in areas of concern where government authoritarians are telling you, you have to get a shot, you can't do this, or you must do that, please stop complying. Stop giving them what they want. They don't deserve it, and you don't deserve it. But it's a matter of finding the courage of our true source, our true nature, as spiritual beings in the godly kingdoms that exist in heaven here with us. And I would ask you to find that courage to stand strong in the face of this tyranny, because these bullies will run screaming and crying home to where their mommy is, whatever they perceive it to be, when you no longer participate in their mass psychosis. So stand strong, reconnect to who you really are, practice, pray, contemplate, meditate, eat well, care for your body, recognize it's a temple, this life is a gift, and care for it as if you are your own baby in a sense. How would you care for a baby? But you're not a baby, you're an adult, now start acting like it. And I'm not accusing anyone of not doing that, it's just an empowering reminder for myself as well.
And I always think of what I learned when I was run over in 1979 when I came out of a hospital, 80, after, I think it was 3 hospitals and 4 operations, or 4 hospitals and 3 operations. But I remember, be thy own physician.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's something that we ought to take away from this call. I know we touched a lot of great subjects. I really think you are the bomb, my friend. I always tell people that when I talk about you. So thank you so much for always being willing to share time. And Whoops.
Yep.
Maybe that's John stopped by to say hello. No.
No. Well, health out to everybody here. Remember, God's honest truth, the power of heal is yours. That's why I like visiting.
All right, everybody. Have a really good... Can't control this call. I'm so sorry. Bye,
okay.
Everybody.
Good
Bye. Job. Thank you very much, John. Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
Bye. Thank
oh,
you.
Good. Everyone say thank you, Robert. You're all unmuted. Come on. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you.
Thank you very much.